This is Bob Fitrakis with The Other Side of the News, brought to you by thefreepress.org. WCRS Community Radio 98.3 and 102.1. Hi, this is Bob Fitrakis, and it is WCRS, your community radio, and I've got your community activist, Jerry Bello, Free Press writer, researcher. Read his latest article on thefreepress.org. What are you writing about this time, Jerry?
I'm writing about corrupt land deals and how local Democratic Party politicians are protecting war criminals.
I mean, you really mean war criminals?
I've never been known to mince words.
Okay, so who is this war criminal that's being protected?
Our war criminal, his name is Larry C. James. He's a retired U.S. Army colonel and professional psychologist.
A licensed psychologist in the state of Ohio?
And Louisiana and the territory of Guam.
Ooh, the territory of Guam, but doesn't that give him special status to prescribe meds?
Why,
because he's licensed in Guam and Louisiana?
Yeah, it's almost like him being a real doctor.
So he's not a medical doctor. He's not a psychiatrist. He's a psychologist licensed in the state. And where does he work?
He is the dean of the School of Professional Psychology at Wright State University, a publicly funded institution.
Well, so was Abu Ghraib and Gitmo, weren't they?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's been feeding at the public trough for quite a few years.
And those were his past jobs.
Yeah, which, you know, as a colonel, got him a six-digit retirement. That's what colonels get. That's yearly, not in one big lump sum. He gets that big lump sum that we'll never ever see, you know, yearly. For his service to the country, during which he... basically used his psychological training to design torture techniques and procedures.
Well, I think he wrote a book. I think it was called Fixing Hell. He says that he was merely there to help his patients, to prepare them for their enhanced interrogation.
By prepare them, that means he was there to help them feel more helpless, more dependent, more terrorized, more afraid, more broken down. They were helped in that they were better able to have their personhood wholly destroyed.
But he gives great credit to himself. His one time when they took an Islamic fundamentalist and had stripped him naked and dressed him in a girl's bra and pink panties, he said that he told them not to be rough with him.
Well, you don't want to leave any marks on the outside.
So who are these Democrats, local state Democrats, that would be protecting a man you allege to be a war criminal? And what is the basis of your allegations that he's a war criminal?
Other press statements, his own book is good primary source material. I mean, he's... You can say that I've alleged that he's a war criminal. I would say that he is a self-admitted war criminal. He might not be a self-described war criminal. What has happened is that in the state of Ohio, four psychological professionals filed a complaint with the state board to have his license, have an investigation that would lead to the removal of his license.
On what ground?
Violating patient confidentiality, for starters. It's a medical profession, of which the first rule is do no harm. The basis of it is his relationship with his so-called patients, what you would, you know, we would, he calls patients, we would call, you know, victims. His relationship with his patients violated rules of his profession that are both rules of his profession and state laws that govern his profession in the state of Ohio. There is also a state board that is constituted by state law that can and must investigate if there's an allegation and must pull his license if that allegation is sustained.
Okay, and four professionals in the state, some of them members of the American Psychological Association, have asked that the license be pulled.
They asked for an investigation, and they received a one-page letter that said that there is no cause for an investigation. Now, state law is clear. It doesn't say the board may investigate. It says the board shall investigate. The board doesn't get to decide whether or not it wants to investigate.
Commandment we all know from the Old Testament. Thou shall not is a commandment, right. Not thou mayest.
Yeah, you might if you feel like it. So they decided to take the state board to court by seeking a writ of mandamus in the Franklin County Court of Common Pleas.
So this is the board that licensed psychologists in the state of Ohio.
Right, and if he was to lose his license, he would lose his position as a dean.
And I'm still baffled at how do you end up with a guy who was the psychologist drugging people at Abu Ghraib and Gitmo at a school, at a graduate school, clinical psychology in Ohio.
Connections. And we can start with the fact that...
To who? Charles Manson?
Or the United States Air Force.
Ah.
I mean, Wright State is very connected to the United States Air Force. They're right near Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. There's a lot of shift of students. There's got a big ROTC community. Many service people stationed at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base take classes at Wright State. They have an exchange program with the Air Force University. Their medical school works with Armstrong's Air Medical Laboratories. It's located there. Their engineering school works with the Air Materiel Command, which is located there. So it's a connection of Air Force research institutions and aerospace-oriented civilian public research institutions that can sort of grease the wheels for that sort of appointment.
So, Wright-Patterson, you're saying the connection here. And Wright-Patterson, we won't go into it on this show, but has its own interesting history, including the hiring or use of paperclip Nazis following World War II. Nazi war criminals, scientists that were used to help do reverse engineering at Wright-Patterson Air Base.
It's a major research institution for the Air Force. Always has been.
And right up the road, we have Battelle as well, the CIA's favorite, and of course the military's favorite nonprofit that does testing in military-grade anthrax, among other things. So,
don't forget the mustard gas. I mean, that was my favorite thing they did at Battelle.
The mustard gas. Okay, so you've got Wright Patch, you've got Battelle, and you end up with Larry James. There hasn't been an investigation yet?
Well, the plaintiffs decided to take the Ohio Psychology Association to court and get a judge to order them to do their job using a writ of mandamus, which, as you know, but our listeners may not, is where you get a judge to order a government body or a lower court to essentially do its job. So they went to Franklin County Court of Common Pleas and said, please, judge, will you order this board to investigate? And the judge received their complaint. And this, by the way, this writ of mandamus is an extraordinary writ. Normally when you file that thing, you get heard that day. It stops the court. The assumption when you file this is, it's an emergency because government is broken. So it was received, and then a hearing was scheduled for 1 year later, and that would be April 12th, 2012. And then that hearing didn't happen, and we're rapidly running up on the two-year anniversary of the filing of this writ of mandamus without it ever, you know, cliche-wise, having its day in court.
And who is the judge again?
The judge would be Laurel Beatty.
So Laurel Beatty, a common pleas judge in Franklin County, is sitting on a writ of mandamus, again, which is a writ that demands, mandates, that a public official carry out their governmental function. In this case, investigating an alleged war criminal to see if he should have a psychology license in the state of Ohio.
That is correct. Now, what's interesting about Judge Beatty is her connection. She comes from a very, very powerful political family here in Franklin County.
Familiar with them, the Beatty family, Otto Beatty Jr., and, of course, his wife, who I had the privilege of running against for the U.S. Congress. I ran as a Green. She, I think, got 67% of the votes in a gerrymandered district, dense packed district, designed for the Democratic Party. So that would be our current Congresswoman, Representative Beatty, Joyce Beatty.
Is her stepmother, in fact.
Okay.
And so,
Do you think Joyce Beatty knows, or Otto, but Joyce Beatty knows that Larry C. James is a alleged war criminal?
Well, I don't see where she can't have met him, because I can put them in a room together, and that room was holding a $100 a plate black tie fundraiser.
Okay, so it wasn't Gitmo or Abu Ghraib. Where was this $100 a plate fundraiser where Larry James and Representative Joyce Beatty were in the same room?
Well, they were co-chairing this fundraiser.
Oh, well, maybe they know each other. They were the co-chairs.
Well, yes, it was a fundraiser for a planned expansion by the School of Professional Psychology of Wright State.
And that's where he's dean?
And where Joyce Beatty got her master's.
Oh, so he's the dean at the school where she got her master's degree.
That is correct.
Okay, so and they co-chaired a $100 a plate fundraiser. So was this recently?
2009.
So 2009. So it's likely that they knew each other, and I suspect that, she would have probably had to know that he had a background at Gitmo and Guantanamo, two of America's most notorious torture centers.
He had been published about it. You know, his own admissions had been out there for 2 years by this time.
So here's the question. In law, people worry about influences from close parties, like your mother-in-law. Should
No, stepmother, not mother-in-law.
Oh.
This woman raised the judge.
Okay, so it was the stepmother of Laurel Beatty. Now, in that situation, should Judge Beatty recuse herself?
The law is very...
I mean, you have no proof that...
The law is very clear that a judge should recuse themselves if there could be a question of a conflict of interest, not...
Otherwise known as the appearance of impropriety.
Yeah. There could be a question. Not somebody starts at... You got to quit when somebody starts asking questions, or if there is a question. If you think there could be a question, you must recuse yourself.
Do you find it curious that she's... that is, Judge Beatty's waited almost 2 years to rule on a writ of mandamus in a highly controversial case that's actually involved the Harvard Human Rights Project at the Harvard Law School.
I don't find it curious. I find it corrupt and criminal.
What do you mean by that?
To not hear a writ of mandamus, what the judge is doing... If the judge wanted to just be high-handed, the judge could give the hearing, hear the argument, say no anyway, and be done with it. But the judge doesn't want to go on record. Judge Beatty is too smart to go on record and actually try that.
This is WCRS 98.3, 102.1. You're listening to The Other Side of the News with Bob Fitrakis. My guest today, Jerry Bellow, writer and investigator for the Columbus Free Press. You can read his most recent work at freepress.org. And your recent work, again, is essentially suggesting that there's possible corruption involving a cover-up and a lack of an investigation involving a notorious alleged torturer from Abu Ghraib in Gitmo, who has surfaced here in central Ohio and is now the dean at Wright State's Professional School of Psychology.
That is correct. You know, as we were getting to before the break, the judge could have just ruled against the writ of mandamus, but the judge is smart enough to not do that and has just found a clever way of not hearing it, therefore not having to rule, therefore it's open, and just trying to wait people out until Larry James retires, or, and it appears as though he's, you know, planned his exit strategy. You know, you can't really say that corruption's happening. You know, the one thing that seemed to be missing from all this before I really, really started digging was money.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll back to that black tie fundraiser for a moment.
Okay.
If you would. That black tie.
Let's set the stage. We're at a black tie fundraiser for
Wright State's expansion into the Wright-Dunbar neighborhood of Dayton, where they're already, they have their actual physical location of their School of Professional Psychology.
Okay.
They want to open three outpatient clinics, mental health facilities.
Well, that would seem positive.
They're doing it in conjunction with a local nonprofit called the Wright, Wright-Dunbar Incorporated.
Wright Dunbar Incorporated. Innocuous sounding enough.
Okay. Larry James is also on the board of Wright Dunbar Incorporated. So
okay.
He's working together with the city of Dayton, which, by the way, is the Beatty's, or Joyce Beatty's home city.
Okay.
And the Beatty family has deep connections there. In fact, they've founded a number of companies there, including one real estate company that seems to be focused on development in the very same neighborhood that Wright Dunbar, the nonprofit that Larry James sits on the board of, is set to use federal dollars through Wright State to develop.
So do they? Are you saying that this project, is it that the Beatty's are attached to, is it a nonprofit, a for-profit?
Oh, it's for-profit. It is called the 404 West First Street Urban Community Urban Redevelopment Corporation.
So they have a community redevelopment corporation essentially operating in the same area that the nonprofit is operating that Larry James is on the board of?
Right, and then partnering with his other job, not to be confused with the pension that he's also getting.
I mean, this is curious to me.
His other job as dean, so they partner them all together. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, having a congresswoman on board with a, you know, with a background in education, because at the time she worked at OSU, I'm sure will help
and
with the grants
very,
that did, in fact, come through for Wright Dunbar to move the project
and
forward.
And was very, very active in redevelopment, some would say gentrification or relocation of poor people and people of color in the Near East Side of Columbus. So there appears to be a pattern with Joyce Beatty's activity. And again, widely known, reported to have engaged in the relocation of five different projects, most of them involving the relocating poor and elderly people, primarily black, to different neighborhoods than the Near East Side. So it's a curious pattern of behavior. And you're saying potentially a conflict of interest?
No potential about it. I mean, just Larry James being on the board of one nonprofit that's doing business with his day job is self-dealing. And that his day job is a state agency, is a state educational institution, that's a huge conflict of interest, whether or not they're a nonprofit. He's having his cake and eating it, too. All out there very much in the open. And then, you know, we can throw in a judge.
And he continues to eat that cake because, and then the woman who's aiding him, a congresswoman and a former student at the college, professional college that he's the dean of, it's her stepdaughter that is sitting on the writ of mandamus.
Correct.
Refusing to act.
And then if you have, you know, and then you have her lobbyist husband and her lawyer and her lawyer's stepson, and you've got amassed quite a little political dynasty here, you know, profiting off of protecting, you know, American Mengele.
Interesting story regarding the man who claims to have fixed hell, but really was involved in wreaking havoc and unleashing the dogs of torture and war at Abu Ghraib.
Well, I mean, if all that was wrong with hell was that the drapes didn't match, he did an excellent job.
All right, we're talking the Jerry Bellow, freepress.org, an article saying, let's look at what's going on. Why won't a local judge in Franklin County, Judge Beatty, rule on a writ of mandamus or recuse herself in a project where a professional board, is being asked to investigate the man, the psychologist, a psychologist who could prescribe drugs at Gitmo and Abu Ghraib, the infamous torture centers. So local professionals in the state of Ohio have asked that Larry James' license be revoked if the investigation finds that he is engaged in unethical activities, including aiding and abetting torturers. So that's the key question here, and how is this being stalled? So you're pretty sure there's no coincidence with the judge not ruling on the writ of mandamus?
Well, I mean, there's in, you know, American legal history, there's no precedence for someone not ruling on an extraordinary motion. I mean, courts have refused to hear certain writs. They've refused to hear someone's petition of habeas corpus. They've refused to hear something, but there's always some action. This is not a matter of, you know, the action is to kill it by taking no action, therefore taking no position,
and then
therefore doing
it
and hoping it will
moot,
go away.
Right.
Yeah.
If he's no longer there, why should I
right.
rule on whether or not he was ethical, unethical? Why should I order the board that licensed him to investigate him?
Correct.
Well, how do you see the board's role in this?
Are
they violating Ohio law?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. They have a duty to investigate. The reason why they refuse to investigate is because anything that they could call an investigation would lead inexorably to them being forced to remove his license, whether they like it or not.
What's interesting and why people, I think, come to the freepress.org and listening and why they listen to the other side of the news is that you figured that this case, I mean, the fact that the filing was backed by, you know, the Harvard Human Rights Project at Harvard Law School, and professionals are essentially saying a professional board that licenses psychologists is not doing its job, and the fact that the man they're accusing is a alleged infamous war criminal, Larry C. James. You would think that there would be some media coverage of this. From your knowledge of alternative media and media coverage, why hasn't there been any coverage of this?
I'm sure that I could run around the block with this, set it on fire in three times and dance with it in the middle of Broad and High if it was a Republican political dynasty involved. But people are afraid to bite the Democratic Party. And this allows...
But I thought the Democrats were paper tigers.
Tell that and sell that at Tammany Hall and sell that 150 years ago to the Little Five Points gang. I mean, what we have here is this big city politics, Columbus machine politics, looking out for its own.
Which is a single party system. Every single member of the Columbus City Council, none have been elected initially. They were all appointed, properly screened. As was the mayor, who won election as mayor, but was also appointed as a city council person. I know I was up for the appointment that same year. I went into a different direction with the other side of the news, but it is in many ways, although we don't acknowledge it, clearly a one-party system. And it was, in fact, the mayor in, who backed Joyce Beatty quite heavily for Congress.
Well, I mean, if I were in Democratic Party politics, I would not go up against the Beatties in this town and expect to win a primary ever again, never mind a committee appointment, since we don't actually elect anyone ever in this town. They're appointees.
So you're saying the key thing we should pay special attention to is perhaps this redevelopment corporation operating in the Dayton area?
I think the key thing we should pay attention to is Judge Beatty and her stepmother getting paid off of the misery of torture.
Well, how would they be getting paid?
Well, as this guy goes on, He made his position. He was rewarded with the position that he's in for doing a good job, you know, for the national security terror state. And now that he's in this position, he can use his power to enrich those people that are protecting him.
And by that, you mean perhaps the redevelopment money that goes into the neighborhood where he's serving on a nonprofit, as well as the dean of the business school. I mean, there's been models of this, particularly at Ohio State, with the so-called redevelopment. And the redevelopment usually involves a tremendous amount of public funds, state money, federal money,
yes,
local money, tax credits, and it's usually all being done for the good of the community. Remember South Campus? That was actually done by a redevelopment corporation, which cleared out the institutions preferred by the students and brought in more corporate-style development.
And when you have, and then when you have the political power to grease the wheels to make sure that that gravy train will roll, all you have to do is be in the know as to where to buy properties. You don't even have to directly to receive money to derive profit. You pick a dilapidated neighborhood, you redevelop that neighborhood at the taxpayer's expense while owning property, turn around and sell, make a killing.
All right. So the question is, how long will Judge Beatty sit on the writ of mandamus, which is asking for an investigation of the infamous Larry James torturer at Abu Ghraib and Gitmo? Thanks a lot for allowing us to explore this other side of the news, which appears to be quite seamy, Jerry Bello.
I'm happy to help bring the truth to light.
Check his work out at freepress.org. This is Bob Fitrakis, once again bringing you the other side of the news.